This Cranes Detroit interview is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. You can learn more at michiganbusiness.org. Mike Lee, managing editor of Cranes Detroit Business, joining us live this morning. Mike, hello.
Good morning, Guy. How are you?
The one thing that I love, and I love many things about your publication, is when you get together these forums and you really take a 360 look at whatever is ailing us. And you do that this week on K-12 education. And you know, I know that the outcome often is, well, we need more money, but we need better practices to justify that investment. Are you hearing that from the business community as well?
That's exactly the case, Guy. This month's Cranes Forum, we do this monthly feature that takes a deep dive into a policy issue. Like you say, this week it's public education and the sorry state of Michigan's K-12 schools. Picture's not pretty. Michigan's fallen to 42nd in the nation in K-12 education, according to one survey that looks at fourth grade reading, eighth grade math, high school graduation rates, some other factors. And if you look at it, I think you often hear that the solution is to throw more money. Our schools are underfunded. Our school funding has actually risen quite a bit over the past 10 years. The fact is we have fewer students, just pure demographics. So there's more money to go around. So it's not just money that's the problem. The business community has looked at this outfit called Launch Michigan, which is a coalition of business types, has been pushing hard for the past several years to rework the funding formula so that more money gets steered toward the neediest schools. And other practices are adopted, but it's a tough ship to turn around in Michigan because we have one of the most decentralized state level school systems in the country.
Well, we also have no one that there's no ultimate accountability. There's this kind of
this board.
Yeah, this state board of education.
Nobody knows who's on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, other states have taken the step, and I think it's a good one of saying, okay, you're governor, you're accountable. You know, you want to be the education governor, you got it, but the buck stops with you.
Yeah, we'll vote you out. We have 800 school districts. Each of them has an awful lot of sway in the curriculum. So even if you found something that worked really, really well, spreading it around those 800 districts, good luck. You know, that's quite a challenge. So, you know, that's one of the structural things, but the section goes deep and looks at a lot of potential solutions for this problem. And I think we need to agree it's a problem.
Mike, these Wegovy drugs, I think GLP-1 obesity drugs, which include Ozempic, et cetera, Michigan's largest insurer dropping coverage.
Yeah, this is a pretty big move, pushing back on the high cost of the obesity drugs that have become so popular. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan said they're going to stop paying for the drugs to treat obesity. They're expensive. They, you know, Wegovy $1,600 a month per patient, and they've become so popular that bill is getting very big. Blue Cross says the combination of the high cost and the lack of knowledge, really, of the long-term impacts of these drugs, which once you start taking them, you typically might have to keep taking them if you want to stay skinny. They're not going to cover it anymore in their large group health plans.
Weren't they one of the few that did anyway?
There was pressure to cover them for a long time, and I think that the pendulum is swinging back.
Yeah.
You know, employers are fronting this enormous bill, and they're starting to say, hey, wait a minute, we need to get this under control. They'll still pay for them for diabetes. Obviously, these drugs are also used to treat diabetes. That's been one of the issues. They're so popular for weight loss that diabetics have had trouble getting them. So that's another factor in the swing back here. So we'll have to see how this plays out. They're undeniably effective. Mm-hmm. I think everyone agrees on that. But the cost is, and perhaps these sorts of moves put pressure on that cost. Maybe they'll get cheaper.
Yeah. Michigan, by population, is California is four times larger than we are. And yet we lead the league in terms of just raw cannabis units. We lead the
units.
League. We, yeah. We're the highest state in the nation, apparently. So
help me understand that.
Why is Michigan selling more weed products than a state that's four times larger than ours? Now, I know that they've got high taxes and still a thriving black market, but that can't explain all of this.
That's a chunk of it. Part of it is just that our prices are much, much lower. We left the market, allowed an unlimited number of producer licenses. So a whole lot of weed got produced and gets produced in the state. So our prices are about half that for raw marijuana in Michigan. The black market in California, which was sort of the capital of the old illegal weed black market, has never gone away, partly because of price. Here, it's so cheap to buy it legally. Why would you not, if that's what you're interested in? So those two things have added up to us being, we use more per capita than any other state. We buy more raw product. So I guess you can call that a success in terms of creating a legal market, depending on your point of view. But I think you can say that we did a pretty good job of creating a framework for this business to be created. Let's put it that way, both to benefit, the industry itself and consumers.
Just a minute left, but, we talk a lot on the show about EV sales and who wants to buy them, but those who have already bought them might have buyer's remorse.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of an eye-opener. A survey by McKinsey of people who've already bought electric vehicles, almost 40% of those people say that for their next car, they want to go back to an internal combustion engine.
Wow.
You would assume these people were people who were predisposed, who really wanted an electric vehicle. They're still essentially early adopters. They got a taste of it and they want to go back. Range anxiety and other factors that people cite are real. So I think the auto industry has some serious soul searching to do, and obviously some improvements in the products to make as this transition goes on.
And that's on the heels of last week's AAA survey showing that consumer consideration has kind of struck in neutral, that it's not growing like they thought it would be. Mike Lee, all important stories, and we'll read about it in today's Cranes Detroit Business.
Thanks, Guy.
Coming up, he wants to transform the Rancent into affordable housing. And is it the opening shot in the gubernatorial race? Kevin Rinke, next on JR Morning.